You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Trying to make Master Guns Ubaldi feel comfortable living in South Florida.
I love South Florida.
Living in South Florida, like those Caribbean Queen music.
You gotta love it.
The retired Master Gunnery Sergeant John Ubaldi, and the son of an Italian naval sailor and an immigrant, joins us. The principal at the Ubaldi Reports. So, talk to me. What's shaking in the Ubaldi Reports? What are you writing about this week?
Well, there's two big issues. One article I'm good by, I'm in the process of, is on 4th of July. But the two big issues is, one is the health care law that the Republicans are trying to pass, trying to get their votes before the 4th of July weekend.
Okay.
And the other one I wrote last week that is really carrying over this week is, what direction does the special counsel take by Robert Mueller looking into either obstruction of justice in this Russian collusion? Because there was an article that came out this morning from Serbia, I don't know if I pronounced it right, News, that stated that the FBI was going after Michael Flynn for his Russian involvement way before we all knew about it, because he spoke out and there was an agent in the FBI that was fast-tracked for, she was a counterterrorism officer type thing. Well, she filed a sexual harassment suit against Andrew McCabe, who is the number two director at the FBI. And they kind of, and the way the documents read is that it seems like they were trying to punish General Flynn because he supported that counterterrorism officer. So, and then you've got the Loretta Lynch. She's going up in front of the Senate because they want to find out, did she have any connection or collusion with the Clinton campaign, because she wanted to downgrade the investigation from an investigation to matters, and James Comey and his testimony last month felt very queasy about that. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and no one knows what direction this investigation is going to go.
Okay, so give us a look into your crystal ball. Give us your best guess.
My best guess is they're going to find something with Loretta Lynch. The reason I state that is there's a friend of mine who I work with.
Uh-oh.
He was a pilot. And he said when a pilot flies or a plane flies, they have to turn in their flight itinerary.
Right.
And all the logistics to go with it. Now, Loretta Lynch did meet Bill Clinton in the tarmac in Arizona. And they make it sound like this was a happenstance meeting. Well, the Attorney General is guarded by the FBI. The Secret Service protects the president, I mean President Clinton,
right,
like all ex-presidents get.
This sounds like a mystery.
It is. I mean, I would like to know, because you would have to turn in, and all those flight plans, especially for the Attorney General and the former president, that's all classified.
Yeah.
How did they just happen to meet? And then if they meet on the tarmac, you don't just walk across the tarmac and knock on the door.
Yeah.
The FBI would have had to have coordinated with the Secret Service. Now, that's mere speculation on my part, but it's something to look into.
Okay. So where is this going?
Now, the Senate, under Charles Grassley, they want Loretta Lynch to testify before his committee.
Yeah.
So they're asking for information. Who did you meet? Did you meet with anybody from the DNC? That was at the time Debbie Wasserman Schultz before she was fired.
Yeah.
So did you meet? Did the campaign meet with anybody or indirectly or directly with the Justice Department? Because when WikiLeaks dropped its bombshell in the fall, it showed that there was an official at the Justice Department was coordinating with John Podesta, Clinton's campaign director, to give him a heads up that this is what's coming down. So there's a lot of unanswered questions that we just don't know, and they need to investigate this. And it kind of reminds me what Jonathan Turley stated, who is a constitutional scholar from George Washington, when they first announced the special counsel. He goes, be careful what you look for or ask for. You may just get it. So they could go into another vein, because right now they're finding there was no collusion between the Russians and Donald Trump or his cohorts.
Okay, but so the other major question, though, is the whole question of Trump and obstruction of justice. So your thoughts on that? I mean, and let me, is it me or does it make you a little bit queasy, the things that are coming out about the people Mueller is hiring and they're being campaign contributors to the Clinton for president? Is it me or does that seem unseemly?
I would agree with you. I'm very queasy about you bringing on individuals that one of the attorneys was the attorney for the Clinton Foundation, which was also under investigation. We don't even know where that is. That investigation still going on, or is it been closed? We don't know. I'm very queasy when individuals who are investigating potential nefarious acts have given money to a political party or campaign. I mean, I don't mean a $250. I mean a substantial amount of money. I have a problem with that.
So that's not just me.
No, it's not just you. Even Robert Mueller, who has a very close friendship with James Comey, I think he should have probably recused himself and get someone else who doesn't have that close connection. But this, Michael, this goes back to the heart and soul of why people voted for Donald Trump. It's just, they're sick and tired of things like this, or if they did that, like we were in the military, we had classified materials that we saw. If I did what the Clintons did, or any of her staffers, I mean, it's court-martialed.
Don't you understand, though, that the rules don't apply to them? You're asking, like, the rules to be applied in the ranch house that apply in the barnyard. You're in the barnyard, Master Guns, with the rest of us. I mean, look at Loretta. I mean, think about this. And I offer you this as evidence. Not that I need to, but I will because I'm that kind of a guy. Comey gets a phone call from Loretta Lynch. She said, yeah, Jim, we're not going to call this Clinton thing an investigation. And he says, what? And she says, we're going to refer to it as a matter. Okay. See you later. I mean, doesn't Comey have the responsibility to say, I'm sorry, but the FBI, we don't do matters here. It's an investigation. If you don't want me to speak to it, then tell me that, and I'll refer all questions to you and tell the media that I've been required to do that. But I'm not going to play games with it. But that's exactly what we do. We play games with it. And Bill Clinton perjures himself. He lies to the whole nation. He says, I did not have sexual relations. And so in his own, you know, bag of shit mind, right, he's taken his X-Acto knife out, and he's redefined sexual relations as sexual intercourse. Okay? You know, so he narrowly defines it, and then he lies under oath, and then he gets caught.
It's interesting.
And the rules don't apply.
Here's a point. It was interesting that the statement you mentioned about sexual harassment or sexual relations, is that was during the 90s. And you remember, because you were an officer during that period, the tailhook in 92, it was 91 or 92. Well, in the book Shattered that was written about the Clinton campaign when she ran for president in 2016, she went to South Carolina, North Carolina. She spoke in front of the veterans of foreign war. And she came away with that. They were very cold, very muted in their response toward her. So she came back and said, well, they just don't want to see a woman commander-in-chief. And she missed the total boat. They remember back in the 90s when all those sexual harassment, I knew officers were just, had to sign, you know, statements. I wasn't at tailhook. I didn't take part in that stuff. Here Bill Clinton gets in trouble, and he's looked at as a hero. Fast forward to Hillary Clinton's day. She does these things with the classified emails. Everybody else would have been in jail in Fort Leavenworth. She can get away with it. And they just never got it. This is why the military just looks at the Clintons as one set for you, and then the peasants get something different.
Well, I mean, it is the way it is. The way it is, so I just urge you to accept your fate. And don't bitch about it. It's what you signed up for. They have a different set of rules, and it's the way the country is ruled. So
but the one thing that came back to bite them, though, this is the reason why she lost. I mean, there's many other reasons why she lost.
I think, let me tell you, I think her losing, there is a lot of reasons that she lost. But what's amazing, though, is the narrow set of people that define the Democratic Party and lost to a jackass like Donald Trump. Honestly.
Well, that's the point. Is there is no reason why somebody who had the establishment, the media, and Donald Trump had a narrative, make America great. Now, whether you agree with that or not,
no, but it was his all, you know, his pussy grabbing and all the rest of the crazy shit that came out of his mouth.
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't have one specific policy recommendation. Hold on, let me do my Donald Trump impersonation. health insurance. It's going to be unbelievable. We're going to have an unbelievable program. Everybody's going to get taken care of. It's going to be incredible. The pre-existing conditions, we're going to take care of everybody. And it's going to be affordable. It's going to be incredible health care. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. We're going to get it done. that's Donald Trump talking about health care.
But that's what he talked about every other issue. He gave such vague ideas. But the point is,
and she lost to him.
Well, she lost him because what was her campaign? America Together. What does that mean? Or I'm not as bad as Donald Trump. And he goes, yeah, you're right. Donald Trump is bad, but you're no nun. You're no angel yourself.
No,
she lost.
Honestly, she was a bad candidate. And, you know,
she was a horrible candidate.
Right. So, let me get back to the original. I don't think most people believe that they'll find a link, a conspiracy between the Kremlin and the Trump administration. Okay. There might have been guys contacting them and working their own bolts, you know, relative to money and consulting fees and things like that. But okay, what about obstruction of justice? Do you think there's any? Will that have any legs in Mueller's investigation?
At that point, was there something I don't know about? Now, was it inappropriate for Trump to ask James Comey about, you know, hey, Flynn's a good guy? Yeah, probably inappropriate. But does that rise to the level of obstruction of justice? Even Jonathan Turley, another constitutional scholar, said, no, that bar is so high to reach. But that also threw in Loretta Lynch. Now, they're asking the DIA and I think the CIA director, Pompeo, to see what did Trump say to him that level. But so far, there's no level of obstruction of justice that they can label on Donald Trump. Unless they find something that we're not aware of at this point. So far, the committee, Dianne Feinstein, Warner of Virginia said the same thing. Even Adam Schiff out of California said, we found no evidence as of yet. And it's been 10, 12 months. So, I mean, I don't know what Robert Mueller finds, but so far they haven't found anything.
All right,
but now it seems the investigation is swinging to another direction, so we don't know where they're going.
Well, I mean, that's his charter, to investigate this Russian thing, so... It seems like at that point, if the president didn't obstruct justice, I mean, the two major, things to me that he looks into is the Russian connection. Is there a connection? Not did the Russians try to do something in the election, but was there a Russian connection to the Trump campaign? And did the president attempt to obstruct justice? Because I'm with you. Look, I'm no dummy. Okay, I just play one on the radio. Okay, but you know this, Master Guns, the guys who James Comey knows during the campaign told Comey, if this son of a bitch gets elected, I've dealt with him. You keep your hand on your wallet and you write down everything he says in those meetings. Okay, because he will lie and he will jam it up your ass and he'll just keep going. He doesn't stop, okay, for anything. So now Comey, said that he was shocked in the Oval Office. Okay, now here's the director of the FBI. The Attorney General tells him we're going to call this investigation into the Clinton thing a matter. Okay, so it's trying to drag him into politics. The appropriate response is, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't do that. If you don't want me to speak about it, I'll refer all questions to you. You can talk about why I can't talk, and you can talk about what you're calling it. I won't do that. But he didn't say that, right?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. And so now he's in the Oval Office, right? The president clears the Oval Office, right? And
correct.
And Jeff Sessions says, do you want me to stay? Right, the president says no. Okay, son-in-law says, "Do you want me to stay?" He says no. So now I'm Comey. Now, when I got in trouble when I was a kid and my dad cleared the room, that meant some serious shit was about to go down. Okay.
Yeah, same way.
Right. So now Comey's already been warned by everybody he knows about Trump. Now Trump clears the room. What's going to happen? Anything good? Probably not. Okay, and now he goes to the Flynn investigation. Comey's moral responsibility as the director of the FBI, who's sworn to defend the Constitution, is to look the president in the face when he says, "Hey, I hope you can see fit to let Flynn go." Is to look at him and say, "Mr. President, are you directing me to drop this investigation?" And at that point, what would Trump have said? Of course not. I want you to investigate everything, but, he's paid a big price, blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying. And then at that point, he says, okay, Mr. President, I have to tell you that this conversation is probably inappropriate. I appreciate the fact that you're not giving me any guidance on that. And then Trump wiggles out of it by saying, no, Comey's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. I'm just, if you haven't found anything, then I think, he's paid a big enough price. Okay, thank you. Can we conclude this conversation? If not, I'm going to have to leave. That's Comey's duty. I was stunned. Bullshit, man.
But even in the testimony, I think it was either Dianne Feinstein from California or Senator Burr from North Carolina. They asked him, why didn't you say anything like you're suggesting? And the words he used, I guess I acted cowardly in front of, Trump, or when he did it with Loretta Lynch. Now, Robert Mukasey, who was the...
But hold on. But he had enough presence of mind to go to his car and begin taking notes, right?
Correct.
And then he went back to the FBI, and he got his little staff together, and they started saying, should we go to him, and should we go to Sessions? No. He had a duty to go back and tell the Attorney General Sessions what happened. That was his job. Not to go back and play reindeer games with it. That's bullshit. And if Sessions then has to recuse himself, then so be it. But to me, Comey plays games in this whole fucking thing.
He did. But see, the thing is, beyond just not even going to Jeff Sessions, this is before Jeff Sessions recused himself. If he couldn't go to the Attorney General, he could have gone to the Deputy Attorney General. He could have gone to the Oversight Committee on all the committees, Judiciary, from both House or Senate, and he didn't. It's the same thing with Loretta Lynch. She felt so unqueasy. I mean, and man, look,
get over, yeah, exactly. Get over queasy.
Robert Mukasey, who was Bush Jr.'s final attorney general, said it. If he was intimidated by being in the Oval Office, you're in the wrong job.
Hello?
You're 6 foot six, and you're out, you out-height everybody, but if you're intimidated by a president and you're the FBI director,
he's a pussy.
Then you're in the wrong job.
Yeah. No, it's stupid. It's stupid. But he does this consistently. He doesn't stand up where he's supposed to. And he's the director of the FBI, for God's sakes. You know what I mean?
But then he
it's
leaves.
Not like what's.
Then he leaves.
That's to me. Then he goes.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, then he goes and
he leaks it to his friend at the university, Columbia University Law School. I mean, what else have you been leaking? Now we're finding out from a report that came out just recently, and then with the Washington Post reported, all these leaks are being coming out. And he's a major leaker himself. This is what the American people get disgusted at. They're like, I'm disgusted with Washington.
Right. No, without a doubt. And I believe I don't know there was a great Republican candidate, in the primaries, a great one. And that's what I think. That's why, Trump, got one of the reasons he got elected. There wasn't anybody of substance to take him on. Let me read you an email. Trump lit the imagination of the nation when his first major policy was securing the border and getting control over who the hell is coming into the country. Everybody in this country sees what is happening. The Democrats are openly inviting illegal immigrants, and the Republicans don't want to offend Hispanics, not to mention the donors that want the inflow of cheap labor. People are sick of this. For the second move, appealing to the Rust Belt to bring their jobs back, reducing regulation, etc. Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Ohio. Boom. It was a brilliant strategy, and it crushed that stage full of Republicans in the primary. Remember, I can't stand Trump. But like the gunner, no way we could have voted for the witch. And like you, I love his cabinet. So, yeah, I mean, I think.
Well, no, he summed it up correctly. You had two political parties that were broken. And we've always heard we need a third party. Well, what Trump did is he took over a party and he spoke to the concerns of average Americans who don't take part, who don't like politics. They just want a job. They want healthcare costs that are come down, not skyrocketing every year, and they want jobs in their state and their community. And Trump spoke to that, and Hillary Clinton spoke more to the liberals out of San Francisco and New York, and she vacations in the Hamptons. Who goes there? Average Americans don't go there.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. I sure don't.
You might. You're a big time media guy. John Ubaldi. We have to take a break. More of him next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch your dial. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. /7:51 on the West Coast, United States. West is best. Everybody knows it. Master Gun, John Ubaldi, retired. Sweating his ass off in Tampa. Nice.
Yeah, but at least you can go into the water out here and it's nice and warm.
Oh, my God. All girly radio today. We're talking James Comey. The water's got to be 80 degrees for you to get in here. Your mama's bathtub. The man up, man. Hop in the water. It's 72 degrees. We're talking current events here. And James Comey is much in the news these days. And as is a former Marine officer who will lead the special investigation. We got talking about it. Does it make you queasy that people that donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign will comprise the investigation? I think we both agree on that. Now, what is talk about what you're working on this week?
Well, this week is just doing an article just to remember, kind of remind everybody it's 4th of July, the birth of the country. So that's the big article on that. I did post an article this morning about the CBO report saying that with a new health care bill that potentially could pass in the Senate, would take 22 million out of or lose their coverage or they would opt out. So I think people are going back and forth, but Republicans are seeing it. These are people who choose to opt out. And then they also are looking at it's going to reduce the debt or at least the cost of the debt by $300 billion over time. Democrats are looking at those 22 million. But what I would kind of remind everybody, the CBO has been notoriously wrong before. Because they mentioned there would be 25 million people signing up for Obamacare when in actuality only 10 million had signed up and some other things. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. They're just taking what they have now. If it does pass out of Senate, it still has to go to conference committee to reconcile the two bills. So that won't be, if that happens, that'll be probably in the fall.
Okay. Let me, first of all, some breaking news. A cyber attack causes massive disruption in Europe. Ukraine's prime minister calls it unprecedented. So we got that going for us today. Mac looks in his crystal ball. Okay. And it's notoriously accurate, by the way, just so you know. Anyway, so Max Crystal Ball. I need to get some kind of gypsy music when I do this.
You do.
The Russians, excuse me. The Republicans, I get the Republicans and the Russians confused sometimes. The Republicans will not pass health care, okay, in the short term. Okay, that ship will sail. Okay? And then what we will have is an Affordable Care Act that crumbles under its own weight. That will continue to crumble under its own weight until nobody has health care, until nobody has health care again. And we won't, and we can't agree on a replacement. And so, and both sides will blame each other. The Republicans will say we tried to, repeal and replace Obamacare. We can't agree on it. But bottom line, it's, we didn't author that failed piece of shit, not sustainable, piece of legislation. The Democrats did. And the Democrats will say, yeah, but they ran on repeal and replace and they didn't do that. And so we'll get that screaming. So that will be where that lies. What's next?
And that's a good question, because what you're going to find out, and you're starting to see the preliminary reports coming in, the insurance companies have to go to the state insurance commissioners to say these are the rates for next year, because the next enrollment period is November 1st. So by August, September, that's when the insurance companies are going to release their numbers. Now, last year, it was 25% increase overall. I know some states were higher, some states were lower, but on average, everybody got a 25% increase. This year, you can probably see a 25 to 30% because a lot of the major healthcare providers have pulled out, like Aetna. Now, Democrats are blaming Republicans or Trump because the uncertainty in the market's causing this. But what happened last year, there was no Donald Trump presidency. There was still uncertainty in the marketplace. And that's going to come down to, what do the American people see? When they keep seeing their health care costs go up, they can have insurance, but they can't afford to use it.
Look, the thing doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work
mathematically. It just doesn't work. Right. So where do they go? Do they... we'll end on this, and I appreciate you hopping on this morning. If you ever want to see my favorite American document relative to our government is the Declaration of Independence. If you ever want to read a document that drips fuck you, read the Declaration of Independence in the course of the next 2 weeks, right? It screams fuck you. It is awesome. It is awesome. When they wrote it, they were pissed, okay?
And they were.
When you read it, and if you read, you know, history, supposedly one of the things that the King of England was really pissed about, because he had seen these things before, was that they had the balls to sign it. And who is this Hancock jackass? Okay?
Yep.
Like, what font is that? We don't even have that font in the kingdom. That's right. That's the fuck you font right there. Oh, trust me. I know the fuck you font when I see it. And I just John Hancock, that's the fuck you font. Okay? And,
here's something for, I think I really encourage everybody to read the Declaration of Independence, but what precipitated that was what happened in the 1760s, because the British wanted to pay for this, the French and Indian Wars of the 1750s, started passing all this, we'll make the colonies pay for this war.
Yeah, we'll lay it on.
And that just precipitated people like, the heck with this? We're not being taxed for everything. And that's when they did the, okay, enough of this stuff. And that led all the way up to the Declaration of Independence and poof, Constitution, and here we are today.
Yeah, but I love it because when they enumerate the transgressions of Great Britain upon the colonies, yeah, they let them they let them have it. You have. Anyway, all right. When are we going?
No, but I love it. I love the declaration of putting. It's funny
awesome.
Now, being both of us come in the Marine Corps. Can you imagine doing it today? Okay, everybody, put your son, get lined up, put your name to it.
Yeah. Well, and the last, I'll tell you what, that and the other document that I think is that we need to read on a regular basis, and it ought to be up in. It ought to be up in every elected representative's office is the Gettysburg Address.
I've got that hanging in my house. My dad got it when he became a citizen.
Well, I mean, it is. I think that is. If you in any way, shape, or form are serve the nation, you have to have a copy of that in somewhere close at hand.
No, I would agree.
And I would tell you in particular the last paragraph where Lincoln says this, and it's, you know. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, nor can we consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here thus so far nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth in freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. If that shouldn't be carved into everybody's forehead, this is why you're here. This is what you do. It is not a blame game. It is advance the ball for the American people. But
exactly.
But Master Guns, I just don't see how we do it anymore. And I think that ultimately that all of us are headed down the same road as Illinois, can't pass budgets, can't live within your means, and it's a train wreck. It's simply a question of time, because we're incapable of leading this great country anymore. We don't have the human capital, and I know it's a pretty grim forecast, but I just don't see it. I don't see leaders out there. I don't see people willing to say enough is enough. We need a bipartisan effort to save this and make it affordable and sustainable for the American budget. I don't see that, and that's what has to be done.
Well, but the point that you just made, where you don't work together in a bipartisan manner, you mentioned the Gettysburg Address. I would tell all your listeners, go Google Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address right after the Civil War. And what he said in that address, Frederick Douglass and many other leaders thought he was going to punish the South. He gets up there and he says, hey, both sides said God was on our side. God is not on our side. We should be on his side. And one side pushed the other to war, and one side forced the other to go to war. So he blamed both the South and the North for causing the Civil War because they couldn't work together, much like where we're at right now. So I would encourage everybody to read that second inaugural, one of the top inaugural addresses by any president in our history. It's short and to the point.
All right. We will check it out. All right. Tell everybody where they find your work.
Everybody, if you want to look at what, go to UvaldiReports.com. You can find me there, or you can go on my Facebook at Uvalde Reports.
Got it. All right, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. There you have it. The one and only John Uvalde. Bruce Goodmanson next here on a Tuesday edition, I forgot what day of the week it is, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.